B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Irvin Daf Memvov, and we're going to start 5 lines from the top of the Omid. We saw in the Mishnah on Daf Memhe Omid Aleph that Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri maintains, and the Chachomim argued with him, but he maintains that even a sleeping person, if a person is asleep when Shabbos comes in, he can acquire residence as in the context of the halachas of Irvin, and he gets 2,000 amos around him, even though when Shabbos came in, he was asleep. Says the Gemara, Omer Rav Yaakov bar Idi, Omer Rav Yeshua ben Levi. It was said in the name of Rav Yeshua ben Levi, Halacha k'Rav Yochanan ben Nuri. The halacha is like Rav Yochanan ben Nuri, that if somebody is sleeping when Shabbos came in, nonetheless he acquires residence and is given 2,000 amos around the place that he was sleeping when Shabbos came in. Omer li Rav Zeira l'Rav Yaakov bar Idi. Rav Zeira said to Rav Yaakov bar Idi, you Rav Yaakov bar Idi have said in the name of Rav Yeshua ben Levi that the halacha is like Rav Yochanan ben Nuri. But I'm just wondering, asks Rav Zeira, did you actually hear that from Rav Yeshua ben Levi explicitly, or is there something else that he said and you deduced from that the halacha is like Rav Yochanan ben Nuri? And we'll soon see what the difference is going to be. Did you hear it explicitly from Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi? Or did you just hear something else that he said, and you inferred from what he said that that's the halacha? Omerle, so Rabbi Yaakov Ba'idi said to Rabbi Zeira, I heard him explicitly say that the halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Asks the Gemara, my klola. It seems from Zera's question that there was something Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said that one could have deduced from there, that the halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, even though he didn't say it in that many words, and then Rabbi Zera would have come to town on that and questioned that. And that's why he asked. That's why Rabbi Zera asked Rabbi Yaakov bar Idi whether he actually heard explicitly that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said that halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. My klola. What do you know that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said that you would have deduced from there that halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri? D'omer Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said, halacha kedivrei ha-meikel be'eruv. Whenever you have an argument in the halachas of Eruv, you always follow the lenient opinion. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said that. So here in our Mishnah, you have the Chachomim who say that a sleeping person only gets 4 amos. You have Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri who's much more lenient and gives him 2,000 amos on each side. So we would have deduced from there that the halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. And that's why Rabbi Zeira wanted to know, did you just deduce from what Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said that halacha kedivrei ha-meikel, from there you understood that the halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri? Or did you hear him say explicitly that halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri? And Rabbi Yaakov bar Idi said, I heard Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi say explicitly that halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Now the question is, if it's clear that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said the halacha is always like the lenient opinion in Erevin, why was it necessary for Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi to explicitly say that the halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri? It would seem that it's included and incorporated in his rule that in halachas of Erevin you always follow the lenient opinion. V'tarati lomoli, why do I need 2 statements from Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi where one could be included in the other? Omer Rav Zeira. Rav Zeira explains, Tzrichi, I need them both. Diyash minon halacha k'Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, if Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi would just have said that the halacha is just like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri in our Mishnah, Havamina, I may have thought, Bein l'kula, Bein l'chumra. Because Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri is actually got, besides for it being a leniency for a sleeping person that he gets 2,000 amos in any directions, it's actually a stringency. For example, ownerless objects, according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, the objects themselves are koina shvisa, they acquire residence where they are, and they cannot go outside that tchum, 2,000 amos in any direction. However, if we would say that they do not koina shvisa, acquire residence, referring to ownerless objects, then any person that acquires them on Shabbos, those objects now are bound and they have the scope of tchum of the person that acquired them, that made a kinyan in them. So saying that these ownerless objects are actually acquiring residence when Shabbos comes in is a stringency that those objects will no longer, they will not follow the boundaries of the person that is acquiring them on Shabbos. So had Rabbi Shua ben Levi just said that Halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, we may have thought that Halacha is also like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri regarding ownerless objects. That's why he said, Komash manon, Halacha kadivra mekel be'erov. That's why Rabbi Shua ben Levi had to add in that the Halacha is always like the more lenient one, and will only rule like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri as far as the lenient ruling, referring to a sleeping person. But referring to, or regarding the ownerless objects, the halacha will not be like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. They themselves will not acquire residence. Anyone that lifts them up on Shabbos will then be able to move these objects according to their Eruv. Says the Gemara Vileima, halacha kedivra mekel be'eruv. So why does it not suffice just to say the halacha is always like the lenient opinion with Eruvin, and you don't need to say the halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri? Halacha Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri lomali. Why did you have to add? Why did Rabbi Shua ben Levi explicitly have to say that the halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri? Says the Gemara Itzrich. I need to say that explicitly. Solkadai techamina. I may have thought hanemili yochid b'mokim yochid. Had Rabbi Shua ben Levi just said that the halacha is always like the lenient opinion, I may have thought that that's only true when you've got two individuals arguing with each other. The halacha is like the lenient opinion, v'rabim b'mokim rabim. Or if I have a number of people arguing with a number of people, then also we would say that the halacha is like the more lenient one. Aval yochid b'mokim rabim, when there's an argument with an individual against a number of people, like in the case in our Mishnah, where you've got Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri being an individual and the Chachomim arguing with him being more than one, I may have thought in that case the halacha is not going to be like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, even though Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri is the more lenient one. And therefore, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi had to tell us explicitly the halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, at least regarding his lenient ruling, even though he's an individual against a number of other Chachomim. The same rule applies, the halacha is like the Mekel. Says the Gemara, Omale Rava l'Abaya. Rava said to Abaya, Mechta Eruvin derabonon? Is the halachas of Eruvin that we're discussing here, are they rabbinical halachas, are they midrabonon? And if they are, assuming that they are, Mali Yochid b'mokim Yochid, Mali Yochid b'mokim Rabim. I wouldn't have entertained the idea to differentiate between if a single person is arguing with another single person or whether he's arguing with the Rabim. It's a Dirabonon, and you have an Indirabonon, you go after the lenient opinion. So, if so, according to Rava, who says that we would never have entertained an idea of assuming that a Yochid v'Rabim, the halacha would be like the rabbim, and it would take for granted the halacha will even be like the individual, if so, the question would come back, that why did Rabbi Shua ben Levi have to say the halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri? We would take that for granted. So that was what Rava said to Abaya. And the Gemara is now going to ask a couple of questions against Rava. How can you, Rava, be so sure that just because we're talking about rabbinical halachas, is it so clear and taken for granted that an individual that's arguing with a group of chachomim, the halacha is like the individual? It's true that that's what Rabbi Shua ben Levi said, the halacha here was like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. And we have an issue with that, according to Rava. But you, Rava, you're taking it for granted that the halacha would be like the individual? Omaleir of popular Rava, ubadrabonon lo yishonilon ben yochid, b'mokim yochid, le'yochid b'mokim rabim? Are you in rabbinical halachas not making any differentiation between an individual arguing with an individual or arguing with a group? Vot nan. This seems to contradict an explicit Mishnah. Rabbi Eliezer Oimir, kol isho she'ovro leo sholish oinois. Any woman, even if she's a younger woman, if three lapses of 30 days have passed and she's not seen any monthly nidah blood, then after 90 days, when she does see blood, then she's only going to be tomei from the moment she saw it. Unlike other times, if she, when a woman sees dam, sees blood, then we assume that the blood left its source already within the last 24 hours, and therefore any food items that she may have touched in the last 24 hours are now deemed tummy. Rabbi Eliezer says, after 90 days, we assume that she's mesulekes, which means we now take it for granted that she's not seeing any more blood. And if she does start seeing blood again, then we assume that this was like a new, something new that started now, and we do not assume that she was already tummy 24 hours before that. And everybody agrees with this if we were talking about an elderly woman. However, here we're talking about even a younger woman. Rabbi Eliezer holds this way. The Chachomim argue and say that even if she hadn't seen blood for 3 months, when she sees blood, the food will be tummy for the 24-hour period before she actually saw the blood. But Tani, we learned in a brisa, Maisa v'osa Rabbi Rabbi Eliezer. The Rabbi ruled, like Rabbi Eliezer, that a woman that didn't see blood for 90 days and then she saw blood, then he said that only the food that you touch from now is going to become tummy, but the food items you touched in the last 24 hours are not tummy. La'achar shenizkar. At some point, Rabbi remembered. We'll soon see what he remembered, but he realized that that ruling was possibly not accurate. Omar, he said, I've already given my ruling, then since we're dealing here with an emergency, one can rely on Rabbi Eliezer, and one does not have to retract the ruling. It was a time of famine, and food was scarce, and therefore, Rabbi did not want to retract his ruling and say that the food that she touched 24 hours previously was tummy, which would be an issue for many people who would not be able to eat it. And therefore, he said, "We can, since it's a famine, and I've already given the ruling, we can rely on Rabbi Eliezer." So now Rav Papa says, "May le'achar shenizkar." What did Rebbe remember suddenly after he gave his ruling, that he ruled like Rebbe Lazar, that made him rethink his ruling? And so to speak, had he realized previously, he would not have ruled like Rebbe Lazar. Ilem, are you going to suggest? Could it be that Rebbe suddenly realized the halacha was actually not like Rebbe Lazar, the halacha was like the Chachomim, and you have to, even the food that she touched 24 hours previously was tummy. If the halacha is clearly like the Rabbonon, then who cares if it's an emergency situation? The halacha is that the food items she touched 24 hours previously, they are tummy. And he should have retracted his halacha and say, I made a mistake, and not relied on Rabbi Eliezer. You don't say that you can, Rabbi Eliezer, kedai lismechalov, you can rely on him in time of emergency if it's against the halacha. The truth was, there was not a clear ruling whether the halacha is like Rebbe Lozer and the Chachomim. And la'achar shenizkar de'lav yochid paligalei elo rabim paligalei. And what Rebbe realized was that Rebbe Lozer is actually arguing with a more than one person. There was Chachomim in plural that were arguing with Rebbe Lozer. So Rebbe realized, I should have ruled like the majority, like the rabbim, not like the yochid, like the individual. And he said that had I realized initially, I would have ruled like the rabbim. Now that I've already given the ruling, and it's time of famine, it's an emergency situation, you can keep to the ruling of Rebbe Loza, who is an individual. Elo rabbim pligele. Omar, so he said, kadeu Rebbe Loza lismeichalov b'shas atchak. And what do we see from here? This halacha, that food is tomei 24 hours back in time, from the time that she saw blood, because we assume that maybe, possibly, the blood could have actually left its source 24 hours previously, that is a rabbinical precaution. And you see here that even though the issue is a rabbinical one, had Rebbe realized initially, he would not have ruled like Rebbe Lazi, he would have ruled like the Chachomim. So how can you rather say that with rabbinical halachas, we always go according to the lenient opinion, even if it's an individual, and the fact that it's even if it's an individual against numerous people? Well, you see here clearly that that's not the case. You see that Rebbe would have ruled like the rabbim had he realized early enough. And this seems to contradict what Rava said. Omer of Masharshia l'Rava, and now Rav Masharshia is joining Rav Papa to ask another question on Rava. V'omri lo Rav Nachman b'Yitzchok l'Rava. Others say it was not Rav Masharshia, it was Rav Nachman b'Yitzchok. U'b'drabonon lo yishoni ben yochid b'mokim yochid u'ben yochid b'mokim rabim. You Rava say that with rabbinical halachas, there's no difference whether the individual is arguing with another individual or a number of people. V'otanya, we learnt in the Braisa, Shmua Kroivo Noiheges Shiva Ushloishim. If a person hears that one of his close relatives had passed away, and he hears it called Shmua Kroivo, we'll soon see what that means, but it means a current report. It means something that just happened. Then all the halachas apply. The Noiheges Shiva, the 7 days of mourning, and then the 30 days of mourning with all the respective halachas, which we're not going into now, they all apply to this person, which means even though he didn't hear about the death in real time, he may have heard about it a day or two later, nonetheless, he has to sit shiva and keep the halachas of shloishim. Rechoika. If, however, the time that the report came to him, it was delayed, it was not immediately, then it's different. Then ein in heges elo yom echod, he only has to mourn one day. Asks the Brice of Ezui Kroiva of Ezui Rechoika, how far from the time of the actual death is called an immediate report and how far is called a delayed report? B'seich Shloishim Kroiva. If he heard within 30 days of the death, that's called Kroiva and he has to sit Shiva and keep Shloishim. La'achar Shloishim, if he heard after 30 days from the person dying, then that's called Rechoika, and he only keeps one day of mourning. Divi Reb Akiva, that's the opinion of Reb Akiva, an individual. The Chachomim say, Achas Shmua Kroiva, V'achas Shmua Rechoika. They are more stringent, and they say that irrespective of whether the news came immediately, which is within 30 days, or it was delayed, which is after 30 days, Noheges Shiva or Shloishim, all the halachas of Shiva and Shloishim apply. That was a machlekes in the Braisa, between Rabbi Akiva and the Chachomim. V'omer Rabbi Bar Rechon om Rabbi Yechanon. It was said in the name of Rabbi Yechanon, Kol mokim shata moitze yochid meikel v'rabim machmirim. Whenever you find an individual being lenient and a group, a group of people of Chachomim who are machmir, they are more stringent. Halacha kedivrei machmirim hamerubim. The halacha is like the many who rule stringently. Chutz mizu, besides for in this case, with the halachas of mourning, where the halacha is she'afal pishe Rabbi Akiva meikel, even though Rabbi Akiva, the individual, is the lenient one, v'chachomim machmirim, and the many chachomim, they were stringent, nonetheless, halacha kediv Rabbi Akiva, the halacha is like the more lenient opinion, like Rabbi Akiva. V'sovar lo an Rabbi Yechanon, who said this holds, k'shmuel, da'omar shmuel halacha kediv Rabbi meikel ba'ovil. There's a rule exclusive to the halachas of mourning, that regarding the halachas of mourning, we always follow the more lenient opinion, even if it's just an individual. So what does Rav Masharshia learn from here? Ba'avelus huda akilu be'rabonon. It's only regarding mourning that we follow the individual who is lenient. Aval ba'alma, any other types of halachas and the general rulings not in the area of mourning, afilu b'derabbanon, even though they are rabbinical halachas, and the halachas of mourning are rabbinical halachas, shoni ben yochid b'mokim yochid ben yochid b'mokim rabim. You see clearly that we do not follow the individual who is lenient if he's being argued upon by a group of people who are being stringent. And this is another question against Rava, who said that with rabbinical halachas, there's no difference between whether the individual is arguing with an individual or with a rabbim. So those are two questions that were posed against Rava. And now the Gemara is going back to the initial, where we started today. Rabbi Shua ben Levi, he said that the halacha was like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri in our Mishnah, that a sleeping person can acquire residence when Shabbos comes in. And Rabbi Shua ben Levi said the halacha is always like the meikel in the halachas of Eruv. And we said, why do you need both? And Rabbi Zeira explained that I need to say that Loch is like the Makel, in order we shouldn't think that the Loch is like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, even to be stringent. And I need to say that Loch is like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, in order that we shouldn't say that Loch is like the majority, like the Rabbim, and not like the individual. That's how Rav Zeira explained it. Rav Papa Omar, Rav Papa is now going to give another explanation why Rabbi Shua ben Levi said a seemingly double, the same phrase twice. Once he said that Locha is like the lenient opinion with Eruv, and once he said that Locha was like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Why do we need them both? Says Rav Papa, it's true, I need them both. Sol kodai to chamina, I may have thought, hanem mila be'eruvei chatzeris. This rule that you always follow the lenient opinion by Eruv, I may have thought it only with Eruvei Chatzeris, when you want all the homeowners of a single yard to be able to carry from their homes into the Chatzah, that's called Eruvei Chatzeris. I would have thought that only there we follow the Makel, the more lenient opinion. Aval be'Eruvei Tchumin, but in regarding the Eruv of Tchum, which a person acquires residence to allow him to go 2,000 Amos beyond his Eruv on Shabbos, I may have thought there the halachas are more stringent and maybe we will not be more lenient. Eimeloi, I may have thought that we are stringent. Tzricha, that's why Rabbi Shua ben Levi had to say that halachas like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, and Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri is clearly talking about Tchumin, even there we follow the more lenient opinion. The question is, why should we have thought that there's a difference between Eruvei Chatzeros and Eruvei Tchumin? They both seem to be in the same bracket of the halachas of Eruvin. Why would we differentiate? Says the Gemara, Mino Temer Deshonilon ben Eruvei Chatzeres le Eruvei Tchumin. What's the source that we should differentiate between the two different types of Eruv? Ditnan, we learnt in a Mishnah. Bame Omer Yehuda. Bame Dvorim Amurim. And there the discussion is, do you need a person's prior consent, his das, before making an Eruv for him? If you know that, if you've got a whole group of people who have homes sharing the same courtyard, are you allowed to, on behalf of those homeowners, make an Eruv if they did not consent, they did not tell you to do that? And the same would apply, can you make an Eruv Tchumin for somebody that he did not give you his prior consent? So Rabbi Yehuda said, B'me Devorim Amurim, when do we require prior consent? Be'eruv Tchumin, that's only by Tchum, by Eruv Tchumin. Aval be'eruv chatzeros, but regarding the eruv chatzeros, ma'arvin, you're allowed to make an eruv on behalf of somebody else, bein ledas, bein shelo ledas, irrespective of whether he gave you prior consent or not. See, and why is that? Shezachin la'odom shelo befonov, you're allowed to benefit a person in his absence, and making an eruv chatzeros is always going to be a benefit. It's certainly not going to be a disadvantage to him. He has nothing to lose to make an Eruv, and therefore you can do it even without his consent. However, v'ein chovin la'odom ela b'fonov, if what you're doing on behalf of somebody else is a disadvantage to him, it needs to be done in his presence, which means you need his prior consent, because you cannot disadvantage somebody on his back without permission. Making an Eruvei Tchumin is, it could be a disadvantage, because if a person lives in A, and then if that's where he acquires residence, he can go 4,000 amos anywhere from A. If you make an Eruv Tchumin 2,000 amos, just under 2,000 amos east of A, then that point is the center of his residence, and he can only go 2,000 amos beyond that point B. And from that point on, he can no longer go west from A. So making an Eruv at any point, an Eruv Tchumin, could be a disadvantage to the person who, had he not made an Eruv Tchumin, would be given 2,000 Amos around where he was when Shabbos came in. And since it could be a disadvantage, you can only do it with his consent. But you see clearly here, there's a difference between Eruv Tchumin and Eruv Chatzeres. Eruv Tchumin, you need his consent, Eruv Chatzeres not. So I may have thought that the halacha that you follow the lenient ruling only applies to Eruv Chatzeres, not to Eruvei Tchumin. That's why Rabbi Shua ben Levi said, Halacha k'Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, that even regarding Tchumin, we follow the lenient opinion. Ravashi Omar. Ravashi's got another, a third explanation why Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi had to say two phrases. Number one, halacha k'Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, and number two, the halacha is always like the lenient opinion regarding Eruvin. Itzrich, I need them both. Sol k'day techamina, I may have thought, hanim mili bishyure Eruv. These that I may have thought that when do you follow the lenient opinion? That's only with what we would say the remnants, the remainder, the what's left over of an Eruv. If you made an Eruv 1 week and you put enough food there, or you made an Eruv and now you want the Eruv to continue being a valid Eruv, there we follow the lenient opinions. However, to initially enact an Eruv and make the Eruv valid, when there's a discussion there, we may have thought that you do not follow the lenient opinion. Avol b'tchila, to make an Eruv initially, b'tchilas Eruv, eimeloi, I may have thought not. That's why he had to say that Loch is like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri is talking about creating an Eruv. We're talking about a sleeping person, and we want to make an Eruv for him now. It's not as if he had an Eruv. It's not like he put food aside and initially said he wants it to be valid for a number of weeks. And the first week it was valid, and the second week there was a discussion and an argument, and then you would follow the lenient opinion. But we may have thought that when you want to initially make the Eruv valid, then you would follow the more stringent opinion. That's why he said, Halacha k'Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, even in that case, you follow the lenient opinion. Asks the Gemara, Minot Teimra Deshanilon ben Shurei Eruv Letchilas Eruv. Where do you get this idea from to differentiate between when an Eruv is already been valid and you want it to continue being valid and to make an Eruv valid in the first place? Ditnan, we saw such a differentiation in a Mishnah. Omer Rabbi Yosi said, "Bamed varim amurim, when is it true, in what case is it true that you need a minimum amount of food to put down for an Eruv? An Eruv has to have a minimum amount of food. When do you need that minimum amount of food? We're talking about Eruv Echatzeris. B'tchilas Eruv, when you first want to make an Eruv Echatzeris, you need a certain fixed amount of food, minimum per person, per home. We'll see later on the details. Avil b'shiure Eruv. However, if the Eruv was already valid, and now through Shabbos the food slowly got less and less, and now you don't have the minimum required food that you would have needed to make the Eruv, that's now called the Shiure Eruv. It's the remainders of the Eruv. Afilu kol shehu, even if there's only a minimum amount, or a kol shehu, a minute amount of food that's left for the Eruv, a minute amount per house in the Eruv Chatzeris, it's enough. And it's okay. V'lo omru le'eruv Chatzeris. And initially, the only reason that we needed a certain fixed minimum amount of food per person was only elo kadei shaloi l'shakeach teres Eruv minak tinoikis, in order that children should not forget the halachas of Eruv. That means the main Eruv, Rashi says, is Eruv Tchumin. And there's also a halacha of Eruv Chatzeris. And in order that they shouldn't forget the halachas of Eruv altogether, then the Eruv Echatzeris, they had to have a minimum amount of food per person. But since the only reason that you need that amount of food is in order that the children should not forget the halachas of Eruv, therefore it's only when you actually want to make the Eruv. But once the Eruv was valid and now the food has got less, since intrinsically speaking, it would be enough to have a minimum amount, a minute amount, without a shiur, without a certain measured minimum measure, just a minute amount per person would have been enough. Therefore, in order to continue the validity of the Eruv, we are more lenient. So you see from here, there's a difference between when you make an Eruv and after the Eruv is already valid. And therefore, said Rav Ashi, we needed Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi to tell us that the halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, even though we're being lenient when we're first making an Eruv for this sleeping person, he's acquiring residence. Even there, the halacha is like the lenient opinion. Continues the Gemara. And now we're discussing a little bit more some rules of how you know, when you have an argument, how you know who to follow. Rabbi Yaakov and Rav Zrika Omru. Rabbi Yaakov and Rav Zrika both said, Halacha k'Rabbi Akiva mechaveroi. What the word halacha means, we'll see in a moment. But the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva v'chaveroi. which means if you have Rabbi Akiva against another colleague of his, when they were arguing, the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva. Ukribyasi mechaveirov. And Rav Yossi, if he's arguing not only with one colleague, but with a number of colleagues, then the halacha is nonetheless like Rav Yossi. Ukarebi mechaveiroi. When Rebbe is arguing with a colleague of his, with another chacham, the halacha is like Rebbe. That's what Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbi Zrika said. Asks the Gemara, Lamai Hilchasa, why are you telling us this? And the question here in the Gemara, what the Gemara means to ask is, are you telling us that these are hardcore rules, which means that these are always the rules, and whenever you have an argument, you rule this way? Or no, is it just that logic would say that you should follow this, but do look into each case separately to see whether in every individual scenario, indeed the halacha follows this rule or not? That was the question. Answers the Gemara. Rav Asi Omar halacha. Rav Chiya bar Abba Omar motin. Rav Yosi Rav Chanina Omar nirin. And here we have three amiroim, and they argued when Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbi Zrika said there are some rules, who the halacha is like, what does that mean? Does it mean halacha, which means that it's a rule across the board, and you can even publicize it to everybody and tell them, these are the rules, whenever you have these types of arguments, this is the halacha? That was what Rav Asi said. Rav Chiya bar Abba said, motin, which means we're inclined to follow those rules, which means that we're allowed to rule to a private person, to an individual who comes to ask a question. We can rule following these guidelines. However, do not publicize them. Don't give a drasha in shul and tell everybody that the halacha is Rabbi Akiva v'chaveiroi or Rabbi Yosi mechaveirov or Rabbi mechaveirov. Don't publicize it. But when an individual comes to ask you a question, you're allowed to follow these guidelines. And Rabbi Yosi bar Chanina said, nirin. They appear to be that we have these guidelines. And what he meant is that you shouldn't even rule with these guidelines. They are not halachic guidelines. It just means if you ruled with these guidelines, you do not need to retract your ruling afterwards. That means if Rabbi Akiva mechaveiroi, there's no, according to Rabbi Yosi bar Chanina, there's no reason to believe that Aloch is like Rabbi Akiva. If you ruled like Rabbi Akiva, you're allowed to keep to your ruling, because Aloch Rabbi Akiva mechaveiroi nirin, there's some indication in that direction, therefore you do not need to retract your ruling. That's how Rashi explains this Gemara. Koloshin azeh, Omer Rabbi Yaakov bar Idi Omer Rabbi Yechonon. It was said in the name of Rabbi Yechonon, Reb Meir of Reb Yehuda, halacha k'Reb Yehuda. When you have an argument between Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda, then Reb Yehuda is always the one who we rule like Reb Yehuda. Reb Yehuda v'Reb Yosi, halacha k'Reb Yosi. Even though Reb Yehuda is a stronger halachic source than Reb Meir, Reb Yosi is even stronger halachic source than Reb Yehuda. If there's an argument between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yosi, of course the halacha will be like Rabbi Yosi. Hashta b'mokim Rabbi Yehuda leisa. If Rabbi Meir is, even when he's arguing with Rabbi Yehuda, then we follow Rabbi Yehuda, not Rabbi Meir. Then b'mokim Rabbi Yosi. If Rabbi Meir is arguing with Rabbi Yosi, that Rabbi Yosi himself is a stronger halachic source than Rabbi Yehuda is, of course we're going to follow Rabbi Yosi. B'mokim Rabbi Yosi miboya. And what we said when the Gemara says Klosh Nazer, Omer Rabbi Yaakov, Omer Rabbi Yechonon, etc., when we just now gave some guidelines in halacha, then the same machlokes we saw before between Rabbi Asi, Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, and Rabbi Yosi bar Chanina, that they're discussing what does halacha mean? Does halacha mean that it's an absolute rule and you can even publicize it? Or is it not such an absolute rule, but you can follow those guidelines when somebody asks you? Or is it only that you do not need to retract the halacha? If you go that way, then I think the Gemara means, Kloshe Nazer, Omer Rabbi Yaakov Aridi, regarding these rules with Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yosi, the same applies. Omer V'Asi, Af Ani Loimed, till now we were discussing Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yosi. And now Rabbi Asi says, Afani loymeid Rabbi Yosi v'Rabbi Shimon alochek Rabbi Yosi. not only is Rabbi Yossi a stronger halachic source than Rabbi Yehuda, not only is he more than Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda himself is more than Rabbi Meir, but Rabbi Yossi is also more than Rabbi Shimon. Halachic Rabbi Yossi, the Omer Ba'aba Omer Rabbi Yechonon, because it was said in the name of Rabbi Yechonon, Rabbi Yehuda or Rabbi Shimon, halachic Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda is a stronger source than Rabbi Shimon. And we saw before, and hashtu b'mokim Rabbi Yehuda leisef Rabbi Shimon in the place of Rabbi Yehuda, the rule we rule not like Rabbi Shimon b'mokim Rabbi Yossi miboya. Then of course we do not consider Rabbi Shimon's opinion if he's arguing with Rabbi Yossi, because Rabbi Shimon is less than Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda himself is less than Rabbi Yossi. So obviously, that if you have an argument with Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon, the halacha will be like Rabbi Yossi, exactly the same way as if you have a machlokes Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi, the halacha will be like Rabbi Yossi. But the Gemara now asks, Iboyelahu, Rabbi Meir v' Rabbi Shimon mai? Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon, who both have less of a strength in halacha than Rabbi Yehuda, and obviously even less than Rabbi Yossi. But Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon themselves, when they argue, do we have any rules, any guidelines, who the halach is? Says the Gemara, Teiku, we have to let that stand. We have no way of resolving that in the Gemara. Continues the Gemara. Omer Reb Masharshia, and this is the next sugya that's going to take us right into the next daf. Says Reb Masharshia, listenu lahani klola. He says, I do not have any of these rules. All these rules that you just now said, that the halach is, whether the halach is like Rabbi Yossi over Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi over Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yossi over Rabbi Shimon, I do not have these rules, says the Masharshia, and in every single case, you have to judge it for its own, there's no guidelines. Minole l'Rabbi Masharshia ha. And now the question of the Gemara, the big question is, where did he get this idea from that there are no rules? There must be cases where we find clearly that the rulings contradict the guidelines we just saw now. Could it be that it's learned from the following Mishnah? Reb Shimon Oimer, Lamad of a Doima, Lesholish Hatseris, Apsuche Zula Zul, or Shus, Opsuches Lushos Arabim, Irvo Schneim, Achitonius, Imem Toyois, Simuteresimo, and Vahin Muteresimo, Ushneim, Chitonius, Asurais, Zu im Zu. We don't need to go into any great length with this. This was the Mishnah we saw in Daf Mem Hei, that there was a discussion there. If you have three people who are stranded outside a Tchum, they each have only four amis, but the four amis overlap each other. You have A, B, and C. A, the left hand two amis of A overlap the right hand two amis of B, and the left hand two amis of B overlap the right hand two amis of C. And those are three people that overlap each other. And we said that A and B have an area where they're overlapping each other. B and C have an area they're overlapping, but A and C have no area they're overlapping, and therefore, even though A and B can eat together in their shared, in the area, the two amis that they share, and similarly B and C, but A and C, they have no connection whatsoever, there's no overlapping there. And Reb Shimon said in the Mishnah, this is compared to three chatzeres, one next to the other, and in order to be able to carry from one chotzer to the next, or more accurately, from a home into somebody else's chotzer. And obviously, each chotzer independently has made their Eruvei Chatzeres. And neither of the people in one chotzer have any need or right to go into another chotzer. And therefore, every chotzer is independent. However, if you want to carry from the things from the homes in one chotzer into a different chotzer, then providing there's a doorway between them, and you've made an Eruv between them, then you can carry. So if the right-hand chotzer made an Eruv with the middle one, and the left-hand chotzer made an Eruv with the middle one, but the right and the left-hand chotzer did not make an Eruv together, then the same applies, says Reb Shimon, to what we saw in our Mishnah, that the things in the homes of the right-hand chotzer can be taken into the middle chotzer, the items in the homes of the left-hand chotzer can be brought to the middle chotzer, but the items in the homes in the right-hand chotzer cannot be taken to the left-hand chotzer. That was the opinion of Reb Shimon. V'omer of Chama Bar Guri Omar Rav, was said in the name of Rav, halacha k'Reb Shimon. The halacha is like Reb Shimon in our Mishnah. And now the Gemara is saying, Uman Paligale, who's arguing with Reb Shimon? Rabbi Yehuda, we assume it's Rabbi Yehuda, and there's a discussion why Rashi discusses why we should assume it's Rabbi Yehuda, but the Gemara is assuming that the Rabbi Yehuda argues with Rabbi Shimon. And nonetheless, Rav said the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon. And this contradicts the rules we just saw now, that when you have a machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, the halacha is not like Rabbi Shimon, the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. V'ha'amarta Rabbi Yehuda v'Rabbi Shimon halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda. This seems to contradict the rules. So from here, Rabbi Masharishi learned that these rules do not apply. There are no rules, no guidelines as to how we pasken halacha. Elolav shma mino, listenu. From here we can assume, from this Mishnah, from our Mishnah, we assume that these rules were not accepted. Says the Gemara, my kasha. No, it could be that the rules are solid rules. And nonetheless, it's not a question from our Mishnah. Dilma, heichad itmar, itmar. If Rav explicitly said the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon, not like Rabbi Yehuda, so only in those cases the halacha will be like Rabbi Shimon and not like Rabbi Yehuda. Heichad lo itmar, lo itmar. But whenever there was no explicit ruling saying that the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon, there we would follow these guidelines and the halacha would be like Rabbi Yehuda. So don't bring a proof from our Mishnah where there's a specific ruling from Rav, like Rabbi Shimon, against the general guidelines that we mentioned before. Elo mehadutnan. No, so we've got another Mishnah, and maybe from this Mishnah we'll have proof to Rabbi Masharishia that the guidelines we mentioned before are not accepted. Because what did we see in the Mishnah? And we're not going to go into all the details because a number of the Mishnayos which the Gemara is going to bring are going to be discussed at length later on in the Masechta. We don't need to get stuck with them here. We saw in the Mishnah, we're going to see in a Mishnah, Iru shel yochid v'nasis shel rabim. If you had a city that had less than 600,000 residents in, and then it grew, and now there are 600,000 residents there, ma'arvin eskula. You are allowed to make an eruv. It would be similar to shitufei muvois, where all the chatzeros, all the streets, you can, obviously providing there's no real rishus harabim, having 600,000 people there is just one of the conditions, but if the streets are not wide enough, they will not be called Erushus Arabim. But since there are 600,000 people there, nonetheless, one is allowed to make an Eruv in the whole city, and Shitufe Mevois, and then everybody can carry within the city. Shel Rabim Benasis Shel Yochid, if you had a city that had 600,000 people in it, and then the population there went down, and now there are less than 600,000 people there. Now it became, so to speak, shel yochid. Ein ma'arvin es kula. Since it once belonged to a rabbim, then we do not want you now to disregard its past, and people will think that even when there's 600,000 people there, you can always make an eruv, and that's not always so clear, because there's sometimes, if the roads would be wide enough, then it would be Rishus HaRabim. Rishus HaRabim, you cannot make an Eruv. Either way, if it once was a very large city with 600,000 people in, and then it became less, then Ein Ma'arvin Es Kula. You're not allowed to make an Eruv for all the alleyways and streets and courtyards of the city. Elem Ken Oyseh Chutzalo. You need to leave one area on the outskirts or outside the city, which is not included in the Eruv, and then people will know that this was once a city that had 600,000 people in. Elem Ken Oyseh Le Chutzalo. Keir Chadosha. As long as the amount of homes that you leave that are not included in this major Eruv of the whole city is like the town of called Chadosha, Shabi Yehuda in Yehuda, Sheyesh bo chamishin diurin, where there are 50 inhabitants. If there are 50 inhabitants in that area and they are not included in the main Eruv, then all the rest you can make into an Eruv, obviously providing that they're not real Rishus HaRabims. Divi Rabbi Yehuda, that was the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon Oimir, Rabbi Shimon argued with Rabbi Yehuda in that case, and said, you don't need to have 50 residents, inhabitants. All you need is shalosh chatzeros shel shnei batim. You need three chatzeros where in each of them there were two homes. And if these three chatzeros with two homes in each were not included in the big shitufei muvois of the city, then you can include it, you can make an eruv with all the rest. V'omer of Choma Bar Guri Amar Rav. Here again, Rav came forward and said, halacha k'Rab Shimon. Even though it's a machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, halacha is like Rabbi Shimon. Uman Paligolea, who argues with Rabbi Shimon? Rabbi Yehuda. According to the guidelines you mentioned before, the halacha should be like Reb Yehuda, not like Reb Shimon. So is this not a source to Reb Masharshia that those guidelines were not accepted? Says the Gemara, no, my kasha. It's not a contradiction at all. And the Gemara is, for the second time, and not the last time, giving the same answer. Here too, when it's explicitly ruled that Loch is like Reb Shimon, not like Reb Yehuda, then those guidelines don't apply. But when no explicit ruling was given, then those guidelines apply. That Loch is going to be like Reb Yehuda and not like Reb Shimon. And in the next year, we're going to continue with the third suggested source for Reb Masharshia.